Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brad. I've titled the sermon today, The Lord Has Prepared. The Lord Has Prepared. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10 today. And we're going to keep it plain and simple, and we're just going to jump right into the text. If I were to pray for the reading of the word, I would pray what Brad just prayed. So, and I did with him. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Amen. As I studied that passage this week and prayed over that, I think some of the first things that came to mind for me when I was thinking about the things that God has prepared for us in the cross and in what Jesus has done, I think about, of course, my sins. I think about all those things that I now, as a Christian, all those sins I wished I'd never committed, or maybe those sins that I did by not doing what God wanted me to do. And I think, you know, God prepared salvation. That's what He prepared for us, and He did in Christ Jesus. And then I also think about what's waiting for us, those precious promises of God. And God tells us that He has gone and prepared a place for us, that where He is, we also will be with Him someday. And it's going to be awesome. I mean, I can't even imagine. I think the Word of God, that there are certain things that God does reveal about heaven to us. Probably the most wondrous thing is just Christ Himself and His immediate presence and the wonder and the beauty and the joy and the love that we'll have in that with Him. But there's a lot that's not there, because I think that just the joy and the bliss that's waiting for us, it's so much more than we could possibly take in or ever imagine. And so I think of those things. God has prepared salvation for us. God has prepared heaven for us. But God has also prepared a life here for us, a beautiful and purposeful life that brings Him glory. And I think that this passage is very much speaking to what God has prepared for us now, what God has prepared for us as we spend time in this world and we're led by the Holy Spirit and transformed by the Word of God, and we spend our lives abiding in Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, shows us, reveals to us as we walk along life's path, things that He has for us. He shows us these things that God has as we abide in Him. Today, we're just going to look at a couple of general things that God does have prepared for us, a couple of good things to encourage us along the way, a couple things to bring Him glory. And this was very difficult for me to narrow down to a couple things, because there's so much. There's so much of the goodness of God that He has for us in Christ Jesus. A lot of this week I spent thinking of my friend Jesse Horner, who went to be with the Lord this week. And these couple things that we're going to look at today that we know that God has for us are things that I certainly saw in Pastor Horner's life. So the first thing, the Lord has prepared beautiful simplicity in a complex and confused world. a beautiful, holy simplicity that God has for us. I believe God wants us to have beautifully simple, God-honoring, holy, righteous lives. Not convoluted, not full of everything the world would throw at us to keep us distracted and busy. You know, probably just because of my age and my life experience, I think of the Andy Griffith Show. When I think of a beautiful, simple life, you know, I think of Mayberry. I think, too, of farmland, a town I used to live in years ago that was very Mayberry-like in some ways. But just a simple life, a simple place, a simple people, just experiencing the goodness of God and spending time with God. And I see this in Scripture as well in 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 4. Paul said, "I urge you, then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority." Why? "That we might have peaceful and quiet lives." The world tries to convince us that peaceful and quiet is boring. It's not. It's God-honoring, or it can be. When it's a life abiding in Jesus Christ and just experiencing that fellowship with Him, that we can have peaceful, quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. In all godliness and holiness, this is good and pleases God our Savior. It's pretty simple, pretty clear cut. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Simplicity of the gospel. The Message translation, I want to share with you verses 1 and 2 again there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I like the way that this is worded, and I think it's appropriate. "You'll remember, friends, that when I first came to you to let you in on God's sheer genius, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophy. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First, Jesus and who He is. And then Jesus and what He did. Jesus crucified." Very plain and simple message. Very easy to understand, but very powerful. Because in that message is the holiness of God. In the message is the justice of God and peace with God and faith in God and the joy of God and the love of God and the acceptance of God and the forgiveness of God in that beautiful, simple gospel message. Very powerful. Demands a response. God says, believe. Trust in this message. And then what? What do we do after that? Well, Jesus makes that simple. He says, continue on with me. Abide in me. Do life with me. Have an intimate relationship with me. Jesus, speaking to his disciples there in John 15, if you'd like to turn your Bibles to John 15 this morning, I'm just going to skim over the first several verses there, but you can look along with me as I do. Jesus is teaching about the vine and the branches. And his point there is that we have life in him. His point is that we don't have life apart from Him. That even though we may go through the motions that look like life every day, that continually He wants us to have this remaining in Him, this abiding in Him. And He commands it over and over there. Remain in me, abide in me. Verse 16, He says, "You did not choose me, I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in the name of my in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, that you love one another." And Jesus, in this passage, he's making it so clear and so simple for us to understand. He's saying, listen, do life with me. Do life in intimate relationship and closeness with me. Be filled with the truth. Be filled with the love. Be filled with the gospel message. The Spirit just brings these things and reveals these powerful truths in you and in your life. And as that happens, as you abide in Him, He will bring about fruit. Eternal fruit that God is glorified with in your life. I think too often I'm much more of the mold of Martha. I think, I've got this huge list of good things that I need to do for the Lord. When he makes it so clear and so simple in his word, he says, no, choose the better thing. Be like Mary. What you need to do is hang out with me. What you need to do is hang out every day, abiding in Jesus. And he'll bring about fruit in your life. I saw that modeled so beautifully in my friend Pastor Horner's life. But you know, there's a lot of voices that will try to convince you otherwise. We live in a world where the devil will try to convince you that, you know, there's a million other things, good things, that you need to be thinking about and doing and filling your life with and accomplishing and all these experiences that you need to have that you're going to miss out on if you don't. That is foolishness. That is foolishness. God has made life with him so clear and so simple, and it's not making your life full of chaos and confusion and just overflowing with complexity. He says, what you need to do is trust in Jesus and then abide in him each day. It's very clear and simple. And as you do that, he will bring about good fruit in your life. You know, God tells us, he says, seek first him and his righteousness, and he's going to just, everything you need, he'll take care of. You don't have to fill your life with busyness and doing and figuring everything out. It's a matter of trusting him and abiding in him each day. Sometimes even in well-intended ways, we try to fill our lives with a lot of religious goodness. I'm very blessed and humbled by the fact that I have a lot of opportunities. I know some of you do as well, where you can serve in a lot of different capacities with various ministries, and a lot of those are good things, and a lot of those are God's plan for us. But there's a time to say no to good things, because we can make ourselves overly busy, where we're so busy doing things, you know, for God, then we're not abiding, we're not remaining, we're not having that intimate closeness with him each day that he wants us to have. I was reading, there's a book, The History of the Reformation of the 16th Century, and I was reading about a gentleman named Thomas Bilney, who was a very devout Roman Catholic. And if you know much about Catholicism, you know that there's a lot of doing and busyness in order to make yourself right through your good works with God. And this man, Thomas Bilney, he heard the gospel message, and it transformed him. He had been just striving through religion somehow to be released from the guilt of sin and the shame that he carried with him and just the darkness in his spirit. And one day, the light bulb came on for him. And he was born again and just released of all of that convoluted religion that filled his life, and experienced freedom and joy and hope in Jesus Christ, and was made new. And a great prayer to pray when you are saved is what he prayed, which is, Lord, give me somebody to share that with. There's somebody else who needs to just hear the simple gospel message that I missed out on my religious experience in all those years, that just needs to hear the gospel and trust in Jesus. Who do you want me to share that with? And as the Lord will sometimes do, he will shock us with the name that he puts on our heart. There was a man in that time named Hugh Latimer, who was a very well-known Catholic priest at Cambridge University, who was trying to shut down the Reformation. He was very, very learned and wrote Catholic responses to try to refute the gospel, basically, that it wasn't enough for a person to put their trust in Jesus, that they needed all these other things through the church. And so he started praying, but only started praying for Hugh Latimer. God, if you want me to go to this man who is like so much smarter than me and so much more learned than me and so much more religious than me, and you want me to share the gospel with him, you got to give me an inroad here, because I have no clue what I'm supposed to do. And the Lord gave him a great insight. And so he wrote to Latimer, and he said, I would really like you to hear my confession. I've got sin, and I need you to hear my... And that's part of, if you know Roman Catholicism, that's part of the process, that you have your confession of sins to the priest. And so Latimer said, well, sure, I'll hear your confession. And so Bilney went there to Cambridge and met with Latimer. And he knelt down in front of him and just started pouring out the sin that had weighed him down, especially the sin of self-righteousness and religion and trying to be right with God through human effort. And then he shared how he had heard the gospel and he put his trust not in himself and not in the church, but in Jesus. And that when he put his trust in Jesus and what Jesus did on the cross, he was born again. And all of that guilt and shame was just lifted. And now he had this freedom and this joy and this love from God, a totally new life. When Bilney was done with his confession, he got up and Latimer just couldn't move. He was frozen. He just sat there processing. And Latimer, later writing about this, he said that all of that many years of education and religion and all these things were just arguing in his head against the gospel, saying it's not enough, it's not enough. You've got to have all this other stuff. And finally, the power of the gospel message won out and just crushed all of that. And in that moment, he put his trust in Christ and what Jesus did to save him and was born again. He conquered all that philosophy that had filled his life and filled his head. Latimer afterwards, and I want to quote him, he said, "I learnt more by this confession than by much reading in many years before. I now tasted the word of God and forsook the doctors of the school and all their fooleries." He's saying, "I'd spent so many years just filling my life with religious complexity, so many years just trying to just figure it all out, when God made it so simple. The cross. Trusting in my Savior, the Lamb of God who came to save me." Latimer went on to live out a very different life. He actually became a huge proponent of the gospel message in the Reformation and was eventually martyred for that because he wouldn't recant. It is in the amazing wisdom of God and the grace of God that the powerful message of the gospel, in which we can trust and trust in Jesus Christ, is simple. It's not overly complicated. And God uses that simple gospel message to overcome every objection, every lie, every deceit of the enemy in order to save people. Another thing that God has prepared for our lives is Godward direction. You know, God knows that we live in a world that is so busy and so chaotic and complex. One of my friends, Pastor Will Price, great man of God, and a wonderful quote from him: "If the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy." It is so true. It is so true. He'll make you busy in your thought life. He'll make you busy in your home life, your work life, your entertainment. He'll make you busy in every way he can. He's done a great job. Anybody else busy? It's not just me and Kim. Even when the grandkids aren't with us, we're busy. Over the top busy. And a lot of good things, a lot of godly things. But still, sometimes it just gets in the way. But you know, the Bible tells us that everything that we have from God, including our days, that we're stewards of, that we have to give an account to God. There's coming a day when we're going to have to say, "Lord, this is what I did with what you gave me, with that time that you gave me." So are you making good use, wise use, godly use of your time? In entrusting ourselves in our days to Jesus Christ, he wants us to have lives that are Godward facing, that we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and just simply each day, instead of just getting caught up in a million things that are going to tug at you for your time, that you just keep that Godward direction. You keep your eyes on Christ and just walk with him each day. One of the beautiful things in the life of my friend Jess Horner that I got to see And if you know a man like him, so genuinely humble, he had the grace, I think, to take a compliment, but he really never felt he deserved one. He would just tell you that he spent his days just abiding with Jesus, just a Godward life, just focused on Christ. And it wasn't of him, it was of God. And another good example from church history that comes to mind is C.T. Studd. Are you guys familiar with that missionary? C.T. Studd, from a long time ago. C.T. Studd was a man who came from an extremely wealthy family, and was also known as being brilliant intellectually. He went to Cambridge and was well-learned. Along the way, God blessed him and his family with an encounter with D.L. Moody when Moody was in England, and transformed their lives as he shared the gospel with them. But C.T. Studd, along the way, part of this was one of his brothers, I think, had a near-death experience, and he started thinking about the brevity of life and just how we need to be all in and not fill our lives with all these other things, how we just need to have this a simple focus of walking with Jesus each day and living for him, letting him do what he wants with our lives. And C.T. Studd decided to go into the mission field. And he served in China and India and Africa. He started a couple of different mission agencies that are still around today. And eventually, his father passed, and I think C.T. Studd was in China at the time, serving in the mission field there. And when his father passed, he was left a massive fortune. And what he did with that, he gave a large sum to Moody Bible Institute. He gave some to different orphanages that were caring for people in Jesus' name. Did all these wonderful things. Helped start the Salvation Army in India to share the gospel there. And did it not only because he wanted to help those Christian organizations, but he said he wanted to go through life just depending on Jesus and to have a simple life, a Godward life, a life that was gospel-oriented and not trusting in wealth, not trusting in all these other distractions and things. So C.T. Studd wrote a poem, and I want to read it to you this morning. And some of you will be familiar with this. It's called Only One Life. 'Twill soon be past. Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart, and from my mind would not depart. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one, soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then, in that day, my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, the still small voice gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave and to God's glory to cleave. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, a few brief years, each with its burdens, hopes, and fears, each with its days I must fulfill, living for self or in his will. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. When this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would score a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep, in joy or sorrow thy word to keep, faithful and true, whatever the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let my love with fervor burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure on thy throne. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say, thy will be done. And when at last I hear the call, I know I will say, 'twas worth it all. Only one life, 'twill soon be past, only what's done for Christ will last. Amen. Intimacy with Jesus. Intimacy with Jesus. That's the life we're called to. That's where the Lord draws us, to keep our eyes fixed on Him, to always move forward every day with Him, His will, His goodness, His love, His grace, His power. We live in a very busy world that's going to try to draw all of us away from that. The simple beauty and power of a life lived for Christ. Don't let all the other voices and complexity distract you, all the busyness. I know that's not easy. It's hard for me. It's very, apart from Him, I can't even hang out with Him. But I can tell you this, He's a good God who loves you, and He wants you to have that time with Him each day, to abide with Him each day, to walk with Him each day, to live for His glory and His goodness each day. It's a good thing to pray for. Lord, give me that time with You. Because I'm a knucklehead, and I'll fill my schedule up with all kinds of other stuff that I think is good and necessary. God is faithful. He's faithful. He'll give you that time. He will. It's amazing. It's amazing how many times I've got a schedule in my schedule book that is just full of all these other things. And I have no way that in myself, Lord, how can I possibly carve out some time for You? I've got so many things that I just are non-negotiables here. And then I pray. And then I get a phone call that something was canceled that I thought was necessary. He's faithful. He wants that time with you every day. And as we do that, you know, we're His handiwork. He continues to do that work in us and through us each day. I'm going to pray for us. Worship team, you're welcome to come back up. Lord, thank You so much for the simple, powerful, beautiful gifts of Your Word and Your Spirit and Your church and the good news. And Lord, forgive us when we get distracted and busy and our lives are convoluted with all these other things. Lord, reveal to us by Your Spirit, Lord, reveal to us the wonder and sufficiency of our Savior and who You are and what You have done to save us and Your desire for us to go forward until that day You call us home, Lord, to go forward with lives that are maybe foolish to the world, that the world would look at and say, You're not doing all the things we're doing. God, help us to walk in Your wisdom, in Your godliness and simplicity, in Your goodness. Help us to abide, Lord. Help us to abide. Help us, Lord, not to wander far from the cross. That place, Lord, where You created that playing field that's level, where we all come as sinners to receive of You and where we all can receive the washing away of our sins. And thank You, Lord, that then You give us a life of meaning and significance and purpose with You. of taking that simple gospel message to the world. Your word by your Spirit. And that you call us, Lord, to just joyfully, faithfully share that. And that as we do, you create fruit for your glory. Lord, we love you. We praise you, Lord. Glorify yourself through your church at our expense, Lord. Save us from comfort and safety so that your will can be done in